Picture this. You're a Michigander with a house in Canada. The pandemic hits and the border closes. Your house is just sitting over there without you in it. And you know there's a plumbing issue you need to take care of. Our neighbors to the north will surely make an exception for you, right?
And the border officer looks at him and says, "You are not getting into Canada. Call a plumber."
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Canadians received access to the COVID-19 vaccines later than Americans, yet they have surpassed us in vaccination rates as they lean into the science of getting back to normal. With that, the Canadian government announced this week it will reopen the border with America at the beginning of August for vaccinated citizens. But even just today, the U.S. government announced that it will delay that reopening by a couple of weeks beyond that to monitor current spikes of the Delta variant. All of this is a big deal for Michiganders who work, live, love, and play just over the border in Ontario. Today, we'll talk about how the reopening impacts Canadians and Michiganders alike.
So it's not going to be like before, where you just head up to the border, show your passport and come in.
That's Doug Schmidt, a reporter for the Windsor Star.
You know, we enjoyed having American visitors over here at Windsor on our side of the border across from Detroit. They would come over and come to Via Italia to have Italian food or come to Caesars Windsor for a concert. Now it's going to be a little more of an extra effort. You know, restrictions that have probably eased up more on the American side are indoor restaurants and bars and shops are at 50% capacity. When you're out at one of these establishments, you need to wear a face mask.
Yeah. Feels like an open question right now about who's taking on the bigger risk here.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a gentle reopening. It's great for those people who have family on both sides of the border. There's quite a few there, like especially for us as a border city. Lots of split families. There's quite a few Americans who have cottages on this side of the border who have not been able to see them, see their properties in a year and a half. So they're willing to probably make that extra effort to cross.
So you mentioned the fact that there are an awful lot of families out there who've been unable to visit loved ones across the border. Were you able to talk to any families who are in that situation? What's their reaction to this news?
Have not, but I know it's going to be welcomed and embraced. There's a colleague of mine who has family in Michigan and hadn't been able to see his new grandchildren yet. So the way he was able to visit them finally was had somebody from his family drive the 3.5 hours to Toronto to catch a flight, fly from Toronto to Detroit, have other family members pick him up in Detroit, drive him there. And so it was quite cumbersome and expensive for the average person just to see family. So I'm sure, people in those kinds of situations are looking forward to it. I know Pelee Island, it's a fairly small community, but I believe about a third of the residences there are American owned. And those folks, you know, they've had some friendly Canadian neighbors and caretakers taking care of their properties, but they've not been able to visit since March of 2020.
Yeah, I believe it's the only Canadian island in that part of the Great Lakes, right?
Inhabited.
Yeah. Sure.
But there's hundreds of cottages there that are owned by Americans, mostly Ohio. Many Michiganders, we're expecting a run on the ferry crossing here to get to the island next month.
For sure. I know that you talked to the folks who run the annual Festival of Birds on Pelee Island. What were his views on the reopening of the border?
But he said that, there's going to have to be some kind of re-education effort because you don't want people all thrilled to come back and visit Canada and wind up at the border and find out, oh, no, there's all these, requirements and all sorts of things all kind of hoops that we have to jump through. because you don't want somebody to have a sour experience just on their arrival. The other thing is, someone else was telling me that, you know, the Americans are more, don't tread on me and don't infringe on my liberties and freedoms. And they might not realize that over here, people still wear masks when they're around other people, even if they're fully vaccinated. It's just kind of like a Canadian polite kind of thing to do. It's you know, health authorities are advising and requesting that. And so we tend to comply. It's helped us with our COVID numbers have just drastically declined. And so that might come as a sort of a rude awakening or whatever to somebody visiting who's just thinks, okay, you know, we got this darn pandemic over with. Let's start living it up again.
People have been going back and forth between Windsor and Detroit almost since there have been Windsor and Detroit, and prior to that, I should say. But I wonder if you could codify this for us a little bit. How much does industry in Windsor rely on tourism coming from Detroit and the United States?
Tourism is huge. Windsor is a border city. So we focus much of our attention across the border as opposed to, you know, in the other direction into Ontario. Detroit is, you know, there's so many connections there with the health system. There's thousands of nurses who work in the Detroit area who live in Windsor. The automotive sector, huge footprint here for manufacturing, tool and die and mold companies, all with connections to the, you know, the manufacturing plants in Michigan, Ohio, and elsewhere. Academia, there's lots of connections there. And Detroit's where we go for entertainment. I mean, it's where we go for professional sports. It's, you know, I really, really miss being able to visit Detroit. I love going over there. Just the bike paths along the riverfront, Eastern Market, Tigers baseball, Coney dogs. I mean, these are just something that we're just so accustomed and used to. We're the only two cities in the world that from two different countries that are connected by a municipal transit system. And that's all interrupted. It'd be nice to get back to some semblance of normal.
A quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk to one of those Michiganders whose family has been missing Canada all throughout COVID.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
For many families, the border closing has meant being separated from work and loved ones and homes for a year and a half. One of those people is Amy Miller, a former WDET radio host whose large Detroit-based family has vacation properties on Lake Erie that have been in the family for generations. Amy introduced us to her parents last summer. They met on Lake Erie in Ontario.
Well, my parents bought a cottage in Canada in 1929, which was before I was born. And I have been there every summer since. It's very important to me that I'm able to go there throughout the year, really, not just summer, but throughout the year.
Well, it's very important. It's actually a second home. It has been a second home for us for all those years.
Amy's family is relieved the Canadian government's now ready to start letting Americans back over the bridge and through the tunnel. Joining us now is Amy Miller. Hi, Amy.
Hi, April. Good to hear from you again.
Same. Now, we should say at the outset that some people did opt to cross the Canadian border for, you know, what was considered urgent reasons, choosing to quarantine for 2 weeks before going about their business. We've got a lot to catch people up on, but first of all, did anybody in your family take that road to go over to the property?
I'm laughing because last November, my brother decided that he was going to give it a shot because the water was still on at one of his places, and he really did need to get over there and turn off the water before winter. So long story short, he gets to the tunnel. He says to the border guard, you know, I've got properties over there. I need to go shut the water off. I will just basically go down there and come back. And the border officer looks at him and says, you are not getting into Canada. Call a plumber.
Ooh.
So that was our one attempt, and we knew it would probably fail, but he thought he'd give it a try. So obviously we are above delighted by this new news.
Canadians take their pandemic protocols extremely seriously.
They sure do. And I think that they've looked at, you know, what happened during the pandemic in the U.S. And there were a lot of mixed signals coming from the U.S. And frankly, there still are. And I think that the officials in Canada said, hold on a minute. You know, we got to make sure our people are safe. I totally get it. But again, I'm so glad that they've taken it seriously, that they are as highly vaccinated as they are. And they finally feel safe enough, safe enough to allow vaccinated Americans back in.
Now, the last time we talked, you spooled out the whole story for us about your parents' time growing up as kids at the places up north, and how they met, and that was sort of part of their special story and part of your family story, and just how much four generations of the family has gotten out of time over there. I imagine it must have been very rough for them not to be able to go up last summer.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, it's the first time in their lives that they haven't been able to spend large amounts of time at our places over there. And they're at the age where, honestly, with hearing loss and vision loss, we're being able to go over there and enjoy just looking out on the water and the breeze. And the, you know, sometimes when you're 90 and 96, it's the very simple things of day-to-day life that make a big difference in your level of stimulation. And being stuck at their house in Detroit for the last, you know, really for them, it's been almost 2 years, has really honestly taken a toll on them.
Yeah. What would you say the year has been like for them?
I would say it's been very, very difficult in terms of their mental and physical health because they have been largely housebound. Last year, my siblings called me the COVID police because I was so diligent about not exposing them in any way to COVID. We were so careful. Our bubble was so small. And then lo and behold, in mid-December, somehow was one of two visiting people who were professionals coming into the house. Somebody brought in COVID, and both of my parents ended up at 90 and 96 with COVID, which was absolutely terrifying. They gave it to me. They gave it to another family member. Thank God we all survived it. It's truly a miracle that we all survived it. But yeah, there was a lot of anxiety filled days and nights. And so it was scary. So now more than ever, we realize the value of time with them and how much we desperately want them to get back to their place in Canada so that they have some relief.
Amy, you said that you had COVID too. What was it like?
For me, it was like a really bad chest cold for about 10 days, you know, fever. One of the weird symptoms for me was ringing in the ears, which I still periodically get. I did lose my sense of taste and smell, but only for about 3 days, which is totally bizarre. I mean, you don't realize how much you depend on your taste and smell until you lose both. Another family member lost their sense of taste and smell for a month. And just as an example, he was eating a Caesar salad one day, and I said, how's your salad? He said, you know what? It tastes like wet cardboard. So that was a really bad symptom. But luckily, and my parents, my mom had some blood clots. My dad, my 96-year-old dad, probably had the least severe case of all of us, which was really bizarre because he's so susceptible to pneumonia. But now he did spend 2 days in the hospital. He did get remdesivir and the another treatment. My mom spent 3 or 4 days in the hospital as well. So they got hospitalized, you know, specialized treatment, which significantly helped. I just had to wait it out. It's not a fun virus to get. And, you know, it's pretty serious business. Now, of course, as soon as possible, we all got vaccinated. That was not even a question.
We're so glad to hear everybody's okay. And that was going to be my next question, was vaccination a very hard sell with them? Sounds like not. Well, what are summer plans looking like now that the border is back open?
I can't say it without tears, April. We are so, so happy to be able to gather as a family like we do. It is our happy place. It is where we come together, the 20 of us that are in our immediate family. And that is where we, you know, that is where we bond, where we have our sailing regatta and our barbecues and we're teaching all the next generation the importance of family and love and being together and respecting one another. And it's just, it is the most important part of the year for every person in our family and all of the current 3 living generations.
Oh my gosh. When are you, do you know when you're going to be able to make it?
Let me say this. I told my sisters, I will be in a parking lot as close to the tunnel as I can get at 10 p.m. just waiting to get in line to get across. We will be there the day it opens. I mean, the other consideration here is that we have 5 places there that have literally had no attention or real maintenance or anything since March of 2020. So we're dealing with the infestations of mice, and we're dealing with wasp nests and all of the maintenance that should have taken place, which thankfully we have wonderful neighbors across our beach from us that have done what they can, but we're like all hands on deck. We're going to spend the first 3 or 4 days of our 2 weeks down there with the entire family just whipping those places back into shape.
Yeah. Sounds like a giant work party for the first couple of days at least.
Oh, it will be for sure. We are all ready and happy to do the necessary work to bring back our beloved places and our time together there.
Are your parents pretty excited?
Very excited. Yes, they will enjoy being there for all the reasons we will. Plus, we are so happy to know that at 90 and 96, they have a chance to see their places again, because we don't know how much time they have. And so knowing that they will be in this place that is so, so special to our family is just so heartwarming. And we're all just, we can't wait to get there. It can't come soon enough.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis, and Laura produced today's episode, along with Mercedes Mejia. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.